We're now moving to the last part of this session, and we will have a panel discussion. So I would like to, Ministry of Health, is you just in the middle, I was told, so I would like to, and then I would like to call to the floor Ingvar Kjerko from the Labour Party, if you could sit next to the minister, please. Per Morten Sandset, our Vice Rector for Research and Innovation. You can choose where you want to sit. And then we'll have Katrine Myrde, from, she's the CEO from Health Norway Health Tech, also free seating. And then we have Kjetil Widersberg, General Manager from Oslo Cancer Cluster. Welcome. And last but not least, we have the moderator, Markus Moe, from Editor-in-Chief from the Dagens Medicine and moderator of the panel today. Have a great discussion.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, should we start by addressing the three challenges from the minister? Let's start with Ingvild Kjerkol from the Labour Party. Do you agree on the three goals put out by the minister?
Well, I do, and the bar is set pretty high on this white paper, so we are looking forward to it being presented. I think some of the priorities that the minister described are also the right one. The big question is, what in the new policies will be new tools to further our progress towards our common goal? This was, of course, a very sought-after paper. The opposition in the parliament was eager, so this is a broad collaboration. Bipartisanship, isn't that what they say in American policies? Yes, politics. So some new tools from the government is in order, and of course the biggest challenge set from Norwegian eyes is also the context concerning capital tools. We have ideas, we have a very outspoken and collaborational culture within our academian environments, but there's often the problem of capital in the startup context. So some new tools in that order will be some of our expectations.
Okay, Widerberg.
So it's great to hear the three focus points that you take up today, I must say. And I think it shows also realism that so every developed country would like to develop a health industry. So we also have to look at what are the assets we can bring, how can we be there. And one of the things which for me is some of the background here is this convergence that we're taking up earlier today between biology and technology, and the field there which creates some new opportunities. So for example, health data and biobanks, as Ingvild, as you also work with, and how can we use these assets to be interesting to develop new therapies in Norway, as we have seen examples of today. But I think there's both this attractiveness for international capital, international companies, and then how do we build up the local companies? Myself, I spent nearly a decade in Photocure, a Norwegian biotech company. And you realize that in a company like that, you need international deals to be able to distribute your products internationally. But you're also very dependent on a supporting infrastructure from Norwegian healthcare system, from Norwegian entrepreneurial ecosystems. So there are many aspects here, but yeah, okay. I'll stop there.
Okay, Myhre first and then Sandset.
Yes, thank you again. We fully agree on the three points, but of course there's more, and we expect a lot. This day we have really been viewing a lot of great, great, fantastic examples of companies, early phase, later phase, coming out of actually research of Norway. Today we see we have a growth in the industry of 12 to 15%. That's a lot. And then Norway, great that we can solve Norwegian challenges, but the really big potential is the global challenges. We have 5.2 million people, and it's fantastic that we will have eased the process of procurement. But what about the global markets? We build sustainable solutions, and the market is biggest ever, right? So that's one of the really things I really would like to hear more about. How can we actually be able to scale our companies globally? I think I've been very pretty clear on this for the 18 months. We need an export program. We have no incentives right now in order to actually help the companies going global. The other thing as well, we have been listening to big players, industry players, that actually have seen the potential of collaboration with Norway. But I really do think that we need incentives in order to attract more, both companies, but also some of the smaller companies also mentioned talent. Again, we are great people, great technology, but how can we actually attract those people that we need in order to continue that growth of 10 to 15% of the industry? That okay. are 2 points.
Sunset.
Yeah, I think it's not very controversial. I think it's a good point you're raising in that you're coming up with. But I think the tools, as we need to see those tools, and I think that's what we're all saying here, that that how can we be able to get these small startups and companies getting into to major companies. And I think what we've seen so far, that is almost any small company that is being coming up in Norway end up in being bought up by companies from abroad. That's of course part of being a small country. Are you in the US? Of course, most of the innovation will stay in the US, but in Norway, with just 5 million people, you cannot have that. So what is the toolbox that we need? I think particularly the incentives to be able to get these companies to be up and going, and to really come out of the death valley of death. That's really what we want.
Okay, let's hear with Bent Høie. What the white paper is expected before Easter, perhaps in March already. But what are the new incentives? What are the new tools that you're planning to launch in this white paper? Let us hear. Come up with the juicy stuff.
I don't think my colleague in the trade and industry department will be very happy if I told you know what is new on his area in this white paper, but of course this is one of these areas that we have been working with. I think that the process on creating the white paper has been as important as probably the white paper is in itself, because what we have created is a very good cooperation with the industry, and I think also a new way of thinking of starting also in the healthcare system, or that is actually acceptable to have a cooperation with industry. And I think one of the big areas that we really have challenges is to change the culture in the Norwegian health and care system to be more open on cooperation with the industry, and also to be more open with colleagues that actually is thinking about how to make new industry. Is this possible to have my idea as commercialized this idea, and then the colleagues will not have to think that, okay, this person is only thinking about the money, but actually give him and her support to that. That's a great idea, work with it. So I think we need a culture change, but also when it's come to capital, of course, and money, it's what we see is that the tools that we already have under the Ministry of Trade and Industry is actually reaching and fitting the health industry quite well. When we see the use of them, the tax reform and the other tools, then we see that the health industry is like number 3 and 4 in using these tools, and we see the growth also in the industry. But we, of course, can develop new ways of thinking. But what is also important is to have private capital that is competent. And that's especially important when it comes to having the industry staying in Norway, but also to go internationally. Because if you don't have private competent capital, then it will not grow to be a full-scale industry in a country. So what we also need is that some of the people that actually have earned a lot of money and get rich in this industry in Norway also use their money and competence to helping others to build new industry, because if not, it will not be a complete industry in Norway.
I think some of the Ketil describes this ecosystem that is the big framework to be successful in this industry. We need more of every part of that that infrastructure that will the ground infrastructure for that ecosystem. We have our universities, academia, our universal hospitals.
They're even building new life science buildings?
Yes, they are. And they're saying that there's going to be too much room up in Gaustad. I think they need more room.
Exactly.
To build this village of innovation that's the vision we all stand by. But for to be a bit more concrete in my expectations toward the minister, we know what kind of tools that work well in developing new industries. More of that, and perhaps also some funding allocated or dedicated to this industry. That will be at least an advantage in the competition amongst the other industries that Norway also has ambitions for. But I think we have to decide what kind of role we want to play towards the big global pharmaceutical companies. And Kjetil mentioned our unique health data being one population-based healthcare service provides us with some attractive qualities for these big players. And to say that we should be the number one facilitators for these could be prosperous, I think. So that's a challenge for the government. How do we attract the big players? How do we give them access to our health data in a secure way? A one-stop shop is maybe a bit too optimistic, but how do we share our, give them access to our healthcare and in some way play the role of the facilitator? I should also mention that the growth that Katrine is talking about will have to come in also smaller companies. Of course, we are all dreaming of the next big export adventure from Norway, but there will be a lot of opportunities for smaller businesses. The most part of the growth will come in those kind of businesses. So.
I was just wondering, Ingvild Kjerkol, you're representing the Labour Party, and you have a history of building industry in this country.
Yes.
Do you have any other tools or incentives that you want to put in life science in Norway than maybe the government or the Conservative Party?
The big capitalist in Norway is the state, so a bit more risk capital from the state would be a tool that has been successful in other industries. Pre-seed funding, early technology verification, we all need the soft money to soften the blows for these smaller startups in the early stages. I think the state should play an active role in that part of the industrial track. So there's a bit difference between our parties there. Of course, I don't think the patience of Norway's DNA is the same as our waterfalls, but you can think some similarities. This is public investments over decades. Of course, there's also an we are also obliged to make these investments pay off in a secure way for future patients to get the best treatment.
Did you mention some incentives or tools that you haven't thought about or your government would like to?
No, but there is a difference. And I think the Labour Party often talk about the state financing of the industry, but there will be no industry in Norway if it's based on state financing. We need, as I said, private competence capital. And that's a big difference between our parties, because I don't believe that it's a good idea to take the capital from the private owners and keep 90% myself and give 10% back.
Okay, okay.
Because that's the difference between our party. Yeah. I think it's smart to have Norwegian national ownership and private competence capital. And then, of course, I agree in building a one-stop shop for health data in Norway, and that's also a very... That's something that we don't wait for the white papers, that is already started with the Norwegian Research Council and the government, that we are working together to build a national health data platform that actually will give both the academy but also the industry faster way to the Norwegian health data, and I think that will be a very important tool.
Okay,
to build industry.
Very short. Very short.
I think Bent likes to make the diversion a little bitter than it is. Concerning the pre-seed funds, for example, the state going in and with some capital will attract private capital. That's the incentive. So to lower the risks in early phases is very important for these startups, and this must be you have to have the perspective of investments for future income with the state's eye. And
okay.
Also, Norway has a lot of stocks abroad, so why not here?
Katrine Myhre, please.
I have a new incentives for you. In the green technology area, we have something called e-pilot. They use e-pilot in order to actually test out new products and solutions. In our health industry, we do not have that type of funding at all. So that's something that we really would like to see, e-pilot, but for the health industry. Mm. Another thing as well, as you're mentioning as well, using the public funding mechanisms to attract the private capital, that works very, very well. And I think also I should mention the EU funding. From basically being very bad in attracting the EU funding, this industry are doing excellent. We actually have a hit rate on 57% when we apply, or the companies apply and they get help from Council Cluster and Norway Health Tech to apply again and again. And those companies that actually are able to attract 1.8 or 3 million euros, you can divide by 10, right? 30 million NOK, that's fantastic. It's those companies that are accelerating. So also making sure that Norway will be part of the future EU program, starts at 21, not only, and also opening up those programs that we are not part of today. COSME is one of them, so then that's mentioned as well. One more thing, we have a new minister in digitalization. So that's another question, I'm sorry, yeah. I don't want to take your role, but I would
please,
like to
please.
Find out how are you going to bring that minister and the money his ministry is going to have into the health sector? Big question.
I can assure you that he is already on the team on this white paper and also working very closely with us, also on both building the industry, but also how we can be even better of digitalization the public health sector. So that's the reason that we have created this ministry, to actually have the power that also drive that solutions.
Okay.
We were very happy to welcome Erna and him also now last week, looking at DoMor, a project in digital pathology, using artificial intelligence on that. So I think it's already there. While I have the comment, just one point, because when I started in Oslo Cancer Cluster for nearly 5 years ago, we were in a debate together where we looked at clinical trials. That's kind of paramount both to attract international companies and to build up Norwegian companies. And I challenge you on, okay, so how do you give incentives for this? And actually, since then, I guess it's not only because of my comment, but there have been incentive systems in place. I still, however, think we have a way to go with clinical studies. So would we dream when we could say, you know, could we, in the future, based on this white paper, see that physicians would have part of their, you know, time, maybe a day a week, allocated to clinical studies to really... because there's a slowness in the system, I would say, even though you said it from the top, it doesn't really ripple down.
Okay, Høie.
Yes, I agree with that, and I also see that, of course, when I'm telling the management of the hospital that you have to lower the waiting list, then it's easy for them to prioritize the doctors to do that work and not research. So we are now developing also a financial model to actually give the management and the board in the hospitals also some financial tools to use to also motivate them to give the doctors time to use it on clinical trials. And I also challenge the hospitals on what can we learn from Denmark. We should have a one-stop shop in Norway for clinical trials. When we have one owner of all the hospitals, why is there not one way into the hospitals when you want to have clinical trials in Norway? So we also work with that, inspired by what we see in Denmark, and I think that would be a very strong tool in also be actually the playground for the international industry to have clinical trials in Norway.
We're okay, it's Sandset's turn.
Well, I wanted to comment on the cultural change again, because that's what we're actually seeing. I mean, working with this white paper and also particularly with the life science building, we see that there is a cultural change, and the signals that you're giving to us is, of course, a very strong, it helps us in creating an environment for innovation. So that's we are working quite hard on that. And I think with Kemal Malik earlier today talked about the earlier phase was with molecules that were quite simple, and then you had more complex molecules, and now you have the integration between different fields like mathematics, artificial intelligence, and digitalization, and so on. And that's particularly what we are working on with the new life science initiative at the University of Oslo. We are integrating, we are using interdisciplinarity to develop these fields, like addressing really important issues like antimicrobial resistance and so on. So this is, so the question is for us is really how can we take that into industry again?
Okay, it's Ingrid Kjerke, but I think I would like to address the audience if you have any questions or comments. There's a microphone somewhere here, I think. I hope, yeah. it's Ingvild Kjerkol now, and then the mic it's here. If you see the hand over there, Ingvild Kjerkol, please.
Well,
first,
I think what was said here about the interdisciplinary Trønder English interdisciplinary approach is very important in the search for new business opportunities. Katrine challenged the minister on our new minister of digitalization. This is really the key. So in Sweden, the Swedish government has this, what do they call him? The life science coordinator that runs between the departments and kind of pull the strings together. I think that's an important perspective, because the future solution for our healthcare services will have to find its way through this interdisciplinary perspective. Mm. The future cancer treatment will also have that perspective. So this is a very important aspect in which both the industry, our hospitals, and the academic environment should really think broad.
The funding situation is, of course, incredibly important to foster new health industry, but what is equally important is regulations. If there's one thing we're very good at in Norway, it is to make prohibitive regulations. So I think it's very important to look at how can we help scientists at the university, at hospitals, to be able to combine working still in the hospital and academia, and also participate in new company activities. Because if you have to choose either or, I'm sure we're going to lose a lot of good ideas. And today, I don't think that combination is very easy, and also the regulations are not harmonized across the institutions in Norway.
Well, some of this is, of course, a regulatory question, but it's also a question of culture. I come from Trøndelag, NTNU, the Norwegian Technology and Nature Science University, who has a long tradition with industries in other branches in on campus. That's some of the same culture we should explore and develop. There should be a low threshold between the clinics, the university hospitals, academia, and the industry. And we have some really good cases, some really good stories. One of the priorities in the white paper is this of medical picture, what is it called? Medical ultrasound and picture, yeah. Medical picturing, yeah. GE, the global player in very many branches, developed their handheld ultrasound device in a collaboration with St. Olav's in Trøndelag. And we have a lot of these examples. Yeah. So it's also a regulatory question, of course, but also it's culture, collaboration, that's not built with decisions in government or in parliament.
Okay, Bente, please.
Yes, I'm agreeing that we can be even better on these issues, but I see that we also have institution owned by the hospitals and university that actually is creating a base for researchers and doctors that want to commercialize their idea, that also keep some of the ownership to the institution, but also some of the ownership to the researchers that actually has developed the products. And I think this is a good model, and it's an international model that is used all over the world. And we see also it's working in Norway, because if we should drive this, then it also have to be some initiatives for the people that actually doing the job. So, and I'm not agreeing in that Norway's answer to this should be that the Norway state should be the mayor owner of the industry. I think that's the history have learned us also that the state is not the best owner of commercialized industry. So I think that we need to change the way of thinking and be open for the cooperative, and also open for that people that actually is still working at the university, at the hospital, is also earning money from commercializing their ideas, and use the money to invest in new ideas and for colleagues, and to be a part of academic university and a part of a hospital, but also be working as a commercial actor. And that's, I think, agreeing with you, there we really need to adopt some of the culture from other areas in Norway.
Okay. Time is flying, but Bente, do you think this white paper will be like before and after when it comes to life science in Norway, or are the expectations to what you and the government are going to deliver too high? So there will be a huge disappointment.
I think, of course, the expectation is very high, I think that we already can say there is before and after, because, as I said, the process itself, the cooperation with the industry, with the different players, have been changing the way we all are thinking. So I will see that the white paper will be a start. It will not solve every problem. It will be probably white papers in the future as well that bring us even further away, but I think that there is already a before and after because of the work that we have done, and I see that shall we solve this also in the future, then we need to do more of the cooperation that we have now started.
Okay, I think that has to be the final word. Thank you, the panel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.